One of the speakers at the Dairy Producer Communications Forum was Gary Smith, who is a researcher from Colorado State University. He presented some very interesting information on some new research that he has done and put together, and I'd like to have him tell us about that. Gary?
Okay, I'm a meat scientist from Colorado State University, and what I talked about today was the value of products that are generated by dairy cattle, both those that are through with their useful life, and so they're sold as market cows and bulls. And then what we do with the male calves, of course, most of the female calves go back into herds, but we do feed the male calves very much like we do those of other breeds of cattle, and they ultimately produce beef of comparable quality to Hereford or Angus or those.
So especially speaking of that comparison with a traditional beef breed, can you tell us a little bit more about that and what you found in your work?
Yes, for a long time when the beef industry was really trying to compete with pork and poultry and make their product lean, Holsteins were at a disadvantage because they don't have very much muscle in relation to their bone. But as we have during the last 15 years, really reemphasized quality in terms of palatability, flavor and juiciness and tenderness, Holsteins have really come to the fore because they are very high in quality. They have very good palatability. They grade extremely high. I showed a comparison from one of the studies that was funded by the Cattlemen's Beef Board through the Beef Checkoff Program, where we go to plants all over the United States and we characterize the carcasses in the cooler according to native cattle, which would be the British breeds of cattle and those that we brought over from Europe, and then the Brahman cattle, and then dairy cattle. And it's really interesting that our native cattle produce about 1.6% prime carcasses. It's very rare that you find one in Brahman. And yet Holstein steers fed for long periods of time 8.2%. And, you know, we sell a lot of Holstein beef to Ruth's Chris and to Del Frisco and all of the really expensive restaurants because it is very, very high in quality. It competes very favorably with Angus, especially when it's sold in really high dollar restaurants. We also use a lot of it to send to countries like Japan that want very high quality beef.
Now, is this information relatively new, and do you think that there is a real awareness, or maybe that we need to have more awareness about this issue?
It's really interesting because through the work that the Beef Quality Assurance Program does, we found out that virtually nobody in the industry, beef producers or dairy producers, had any idea what a cull cow is used for when it's harvested and winds up as a carcass. And the dairy industry absolutely had no idea about the relative quality of the product that they produce. They all thought, oh, well, you know, dairy type cattle aren't worth anything. If they're fed, we can feed them and get a little bit out of them. Well, gee whiz, you know, they're very, very valuable and tremendously important to this country in terms of the kinds of products that we produce. So in traveling around to different places and giving talks like this to other groups, they're just astounded, whether they're beef producers or dairy producers. They just had no idea. They thought old cows were just all ground up and made into sausage or something. And yet they found out today from a packer, from Packerland, Smithfield Beef, who said, you know, 90% of everything that we get from a cow carcass is actually sold as a piece of meat, not ground up.
So with this information, do you have any recommendations that you make to cattlemen, whether they're beef or dairy for that matter, and what would those be?
Yes, from the very first national market cow and bull audit that we conducted in 1991, we came up with a slogan, manage, monitor, in order to really be sure that you get the maximum value from the product. And by management and monitoring, what we want them to do is manage the animals in a way that they are more healthy, that as they come to the plant, they do not have residues of things like antibiotics in them, that they're as clean as we can possibly get them so that we have as few pathogens on them as we can. And then they need to monitor the health because if we just allow them to get in such poor shape that they're emaciated, then a lot of them are actually condemned and not allowed to be used. So we try to tell cattlemen, you know, as the animal starts to slip, as it grows older or as it just is unable any longer to maintain its body fat, send them to market.
So if a producer would like some more information about this, where can they find out results of your work?
Yes, they could go through the Cattlemen's Beef Board, which funded all of the work that we've done, or they could go through National Cattlemen Beef Association, ask specifically. If they're beef, they could ask for beef quality. If they're dairy, they could ask for dairy quality. We don't differentiate them thinking that one is better or worse than the other. It's simply that the problems are not the same. In dairy cattle, as you know, most cows that are sent to slaughter are 3 or 4 years old. In the beef industry, the average cow is probably 9 to 11. So the problems are completely different. And the quality of the dairy cow sold at the end of her productive life is much, much higher than beef cattle, simply because they have been in a circumstance in which they have a high plane of nutrition, fed a lot of grain, and then because they're not milked very many lactations, they're very young at the time they're sent to harvest. Beef cattle will stay there as long as they can produce a calf, and in some cases they can skip a calf or two and still be there at age 17 or 18. So they just do not produce the quality of beef that dairy cattle would.
Is there anything else that you'd like to point out to dairy producers in particular about the work that you've done that we didn't cover?
No, the only other thing is to really again reemphasize that the cuts that come from a cull cow are not all just ground up. The tenderloins, I eat them on United Airlines because that's the beef that they use. You can go to lots of supermarkets that use that quality and age of beef as opposed to younger beef from steers and heifers. So the higher quality they can maintain in whatever part of the industry they represent, the more valuable it is. And I believe so much in trickle-down economics. If there's more money for the packer tends to send more of that money back to the people from whom he buys the product. So you can't say there's an absolute one-to-one transition, but most of that will trickle down.
Well, thank you very much. That's Gary Smith, who is a researcher at the Colorado State University, and we appreciate having you with us here on this program from the Cattle Industry Convention. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.